Thank you, John. I'll just pray one more prayer. Father, I do thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you that you loved me even before I knew you. You were speaking to me even before I knew you. You knew me, you loved me, Lord, and that's how you are right now, right today, that even if people don't know you, you know them. You know them and you love them and you want to touch their hearts, even as you have touched my heart again and again. So I pray that you will come, Lord, and touch hearts this morning. Thank you, God. So as usual, it's a great privilege to be sharing with you today. Preparing a talk on when your heart is breaking brings particular challenges and real pain. Firstly, guys, this is not just a girl thing, okay? My main research, which I won't be referring to all the time, but I'll just give them the credit for it now, comes from three men. Also credit to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in the encounters that I've experienced. So the three men whose case histories I've either heard or read concerning the broken heart, first man was Jim Richards, who suffered severe abuse and unspeakable cruelty from all his family members and rejection as a child. And if you think about Martin's talk, if you were here then, his first picture, and his talk was on rejection, was the picture of an arrow going and breaking a heart. Okay. Then there's John McTiernan, who suffered a broken heart when his parents divorced when he was 8. He didn't know that. It was when he was about 40, and he said to the Lord, he'd known the Lord for some years, "I feel the brakes are on my life. I feel stuck. I feel without passion and motivation. Can you show me what's wrong?" And the Lord told him his heart was broken when his dad left the family home and he had to try and love a stepfather instead of his own dad. And Rick Warren, whose son committed suicide in this last year. Rick is a well-known church leader. I think you'll agree that these guys are well qualified to teach on the broken heart, and they now have ongoing ministry to the brokenhearted. So I just wanted to catch your attention, men, at the very beginning, and also to say that the research that ordinary folk have done, not just Christians, and probably not Christians, is as high as in the UK, 60% of people have sustained a broken heart. And in the USA, the research shows 79%. So just to show how prevalent it is. So be open this morning, because some of the broken hearts that I've had haven't been revealed to me. I haven't always known the root of it. I haven't always known it was a broken heart until God revealed it. Okay. Why should it be a concern to us having our hearts broken? Because most of us can function quite well, but it is a concern. It's just that all that undealt with pain and issues of the past have a huge effect on our present and our future. Okay. It diminishes our own joy, and I believe it diminishes God's glory in his children, his delight in us. He wants his children living and being the very best version of ourselves. So what has the potential of breaking our hearts? As I've said, all forms of rejection. That's if you're excluded at school, if you're excluded in the culture. Sudden financial loss. All injustice. All false accusations. Miscarriage. Abortion. Divorce, the loss of a loved one by death or separation. That could be a life partner, a child, or a grandchild. Also, more everyday things like humiliation, bullying, and scorn. all have the potential. I'm not saying if you've experienced these things that your heart is broken, but it is a big possibility. And there's no condemnation about anything that I may have mentioned this morning. The truth is that God absolutely loves us and just wants to redeem us from our own pit. Those are just some of the things that happen. But just coming home from school and finding that your mum has chucked your teddy in the dustbin is huge. Dustbins in the 50s were galvanised metal jobs in which you poured ash, vegetable peelings. Sometimes things were wrapped in newspaper, but it wasn't the clinical affair that our dustbins are today. Okay, and seeing your teddy in the dustbin and having that smell covering your teddy, that's a big issue. Okay. Or finding when you come home from school that your hamster has died. And it isn't always a seemingly huge thing that breaks a child's heart. It may be perceived as something quite small by someone else, but a child's heart is extremely tender and so easily broken. When our hearts are damaged like this and not healed, there'll often be symptoms and behaviours that continue until our hearts are healed, with the potential of spoiling our relationships and diminishing our quality of life. Some people's broken hearts will be hidden, even to them, by their strongholds of preservation and their strongholds of denial that come to protect them at that time of trauma. Okay. The case histories and my own experience speak of anxiety. These are some of the symptoms of the possibility of a broken heart. Anxiety, depression, extreme loneliness, a feeling of being disconnected, loss of motivation, loss of passion. I have experienced all of those things at varying degrees at different times on the way to heart healing. One of the case histories spoke of a gentleman's ulcerative colitis being healed when Jesus healed his heart. Sometimes the symptoms are the symptoms of the soul, but sometimes they actually manifest as damage in the body. Indeed, if we swallow our pain, as I have done many times in my life, that pain can go down into the gut, causing all sorts of mischief. From the gut, like our food, it can be assimilated into the bloodstream and it can go anywhere, causing mischief anywhere. There is actually a physical condition, and some of you will know this, called the broken heart syndrome. When an emotional trauma changes the very shape of the heart, the shape it becomes is like a Japanese octopus trap, and it's called a takotsubo. But it's like the heart when it's been damaged and is labelled broken heart syndrome. The left ventricle completely swells up and changes shape and looks like that Japanese fisherman's pot. The main symptom for people with that is like having a heart attack. But this is a recoverable condition. I've known two people with it. I think it's more prevalent in women, and both the people that I have known with broken heart syndrome have recovered. And they've been women. I wonder if a lot of the troublesome afflictions in our bodies have some roots in a broken heart. Of course, there are many more ramifications of damage than this, and every human being is different in their responses and reactions. And by the way, I haven't got all the answers. I haven't got all the answers to having the heart healed. I'm on a journey, as are the people whose case histories I've heard. They're still walking through it. You know, there's some stuff that you actually won't get over, but you keep walking through, okay? And it's okay. It's okay. But I will be able to give pointers and helps and experience that I can share now. Importantly, God showed me when I was newly born again that he wanted to heal me. I was so happy when I was newly born again. It was like sliding down a rainbow or swinging on a chandelier. And that lasted for a very long time. Well, it seemed long, longer than I've experienced other people's honeymoon periods. So I didn't realize that I needed healing. Okay. But he said to me, and only God can say something this kind of profound, I will reveal, I will heal, I will deal, and I will seal. So profound, but so loving. I didn't know I needed it, and I never had any idea that that healing might still be going on today. He also, when I was newly born again, gave me another life scripture, which was Jeremiah 18, verse 3. The pot in the potter's hand was spoiled, and he took it and made it into another pot as seemed good to him. Loving but daunting, I didn't know I needed to be a different pot. I cannot say how many times my heart was broken as a child, but I'm not here for sympathy. I'm here to show you what God has done. I don't look like a broken-hearted woman or a victim, and I know that because I am not. But I have had my heart broken many times, and I'm going to mention some of them because it may be that experience is your experience and the Holy Spirit wants to touch you. So many times. Firstly, in the womb, my mother was beaten up and assaulted with an intent that I should not survive. But I did. When I was 10 months old, when I was 3, when I was 6, and when I was a young teenager, and of course at least once following the breakup of a significant love relationship. So I'm so happy that God has forgiven me for all my part in all that darkness, and I have forgiven all and everyone else who's had a part in the darkness and damage that they may have caused me. And I did that quite early on, and I repeat it. I have repeated it since, you know, to ensure. But I'm keen to try and honour the people that have damaged me, or at least not dishonour them, okay? They're all long since forgiven, and I believe saved now, and in the presence of God, and loved by me. Hey, God is amazing. By the way, about the womb experience, I had a special me and only father time. It went so deep. It was all beyond words, okay? It was just an encounter with him, deep in the secret place. And that was only 5 years ago. So be open to being healed about things you don't know when your heart was broken. Be open. And by the way, only God can heal a broken heart. I never imagined that, because I pray for people or see people whose hearts are hurting, that I have the power to heal a broken heart. It is only God who can heal a broken heart. So I'm just going to describe briefly the moment of devastation when I was 6. Not exactly what happened, because that would bring dishonour, but just this, the response. So I was at the table. I was like a princess. I was so excited. I was full of hope and dreams and sparklingness. You know, it's lovely to see some of our little girls being those princesses. Never stop them being princesses, you know. Encourage their princessness. And that's how I was. But in a moment, I went from that to being crushed and broken, like a mirror falling and breaking into 1,000 pieces, totally beyond repair. So I went from being a bubbly, chatty, hopeful child to someone who was silent inside, not feeling emotion. You know, when traumas happen to a child like that, lies and strongholds come into play. I'm not lovable. I'm someone to be trampled on and crushed. I should be still and silent and not dream or not dare to imagine something good. Of course, at that age, I didn't consciously think all those things, but it is what happened. All my pain was suppressed. And that's not the way to deal with pain. But being unsaved or perhaps just being a child, I didn't know what was the right way to respond. What is appropriate? To cry out, to shout, that's not right, to sob, and then perhaps be comforted, and then loved, and also to hear the words, I'm so sorry. That would have been the beginning of a path to healing. The case histories of the men that I've read and listened to speak of getting stuck at the age of those traumas, and many of us who minister to people have seen that as well. And I can confirm that by my own experience, so that even when I was a successful professional in my 30s, occasionally I'd be completely overwhelmed and saying, why are they giving me all this responsibility? I feel like I'm six. And that was that trauma. And I was stuck at some part of me emotionally at the age of six, despite being a successful professional. God's grace would always see me through. And also my stalwart and faithful friends. Just two more stories, in case the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through them. This is more about what God does for us than about my story, but I have to put my story there so you can tell a bit about what God has done. Some traumas may seem worse than others, but it's what the trauma does to the heart that counts. That's the issue. So I ministered to a lady in her 30s, we just didn't know why she felt so low and depressed. She was married. She had a child. Everything was rosy in her present garden. But she felt so low and unable to live with passion in that pleasant life. It was a smallish thing we might perceive. Suddenly, God revealed to her that she was brokenhearted about the death of her rabbit. And she got healed in that moment, and it changed her whole sense of life and how she could live it. Then there's a story of the child who heard at school one day, bring something that's yours, that belongs to you, that you love, for the children at the children's home. Bring it tomorrow. Make it count. Not something that you don't like, but something that you love. So that child took her monkey pajama case, and he had become her constant night and day companion. He had been given to her by a favourite uncle, and she gave him away. So painful. And we need to be so careful how we encourage our children to be generous. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but obviously I don't think that was the right thing. One thing is very certain. I never need to go digging for this stuff, okay? God will reveal it and has revealed it to me, either when I'm worshipping him, when I'm encountering him, or when I'm with a friend, you know, when we're having intimate fellowship. And if something is revealed to me, I'll seek the Father on it, and there'll always be something that I can look at and think, well, I can tell that my reactions were worse, and so that's more sin I can confess. So, you know, I was proud then, as well as being hurt. All those negative reactions that are sometimes going on in our hearts. So I don't recommend facing unbearable pain without him. We live in a broken world with broken people. We're bound to get broken now and again, and we're bound to break some people now and again, but we can be forgiven and helped. We need to follow God in this healing process for our good and for his glory, so that we live at our full potential in the fullness of our inheritance, glorious and shining ones. Free to be me, free to be you, to be transparent, not hiding, and living without fear, filled with his love. Jesus has died to heal the brokenhearted. It's just as important to grieve over unfulfilled dreams and hopes, okay? Things you longed for that you didn't get. If getting married was part of your life's desire and it didn't happen, that's a huge loss to you. But grieve it so that he can pour in his oil and you can become, increasingly, the glorious person that he intends you to be. Psalm 32, verse 3, David says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning." That's another physical impact of soul pain. Okay, but don't let's moan, but let's mourn. Mourn and call out to our God, which is a positive response to pain. So what does God do when we call out to him in our grief, in our brokenness? He draws us close to himself. Psalm 34, verse 18. I can't believe, you know, these were all, the scriptures I am speaking are all life scriptures to me, really before I knew that I needed to lean on them and call on them. Okay. Psalm 34, verse 18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Hebrews 13, verse 5. "In your massive failures, in your worst pain, in your worst humiliation, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says, I will feel it with you." God grieves with us, and I have the ability to grieve because I'm made in the image of God. Isaiah 53, verse 3, "Jesus, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest of griefs." And the story of Lazarus, John 11, verse 32. "When Jesus saw her weeping," that was Mary, "he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." Jesus wept. Yes, he wept for his friend Lazarus, but also for the brokenhearted sisters. He shared their grief. He shares yours. And weeping is not a sign of weakness, but strength. Grief is evidence of love. Isaiah 61, 2-3, "He came to comfort all who mourn." And he also gives us special people in our lives. I don't think I would have survived without the special people bringing the presence of God to me. He gives us special people within our church family. Just a tiny bit more about me and how God helps me. So this year, my dog had a diagnosis of cancer, an aggressive cancer, grade 3 mast cell tumour in the leg. It was a painful business. I've had the little dog for 7.5 years now, so she's become part of my life, and she's a little bit part of my heart, just a little bit. When we have horrible and painful things happen to us, God is so close, and his voice, always for me, is more easily heard. Or is it that we are just more desperate for him? I received a lot of words from him during the period when I had the diagnosis and I was waiting for treatment for the dog. And everything pointed to a good outcome, but I felt no joy. No joy with these words, just a very, very deep sense of grief. Some people see a lot in the spirit, some people feel a lot. We all experience God and his dealings in different ways, okay? I had this deep, heavy grief, which was much more than should I be losing my dog, I can assure you, okay? Even though that was going to be painful. So I spoke to one of my trusted friends, who this particular friend knows all the darkest parts of my life. And it's good if you can tell one or two people the darkest parts of your life, so that should the pain come up or you want prayer about any of those things, you've got someone who's already got a heart for you to go to. Okay, it's a very good thing. And I said to this friend, "I think this is touching the deep pain of the heartbroken young teenager." He, knowing my story and my pain, said, "Yes, I think you're right. There's something so beautiful about having someone agree with you about something that happened 60-odd years ago, or nearly 60 years ago. It's so wonderful that instantly they could get the witness, give me that agreement, then I would go away and seek God again, just focused on that. So I went away and sought God and went over the issues again, making sure that if the forgiveness that I needed to give could go deeper, if the forgiveness I needed could go deeper. So I did all that work. I did what I'm supposed to do. I came to church that week, that Sunday. I can't remember much about the meeting, but I went up to another friend, and this friend also knew about this part of my history. And I said to her, I feel that the pain is absolutely unbearable. I feel I can't stand. I feel completely overtaken by it. And she said, I think almost nothing. Oh, I know one thing I said to her. What I would like is God deals with my heart, but I get to keep my little dog. That would be my plan. And she just took my hands. The presence of God came. She loved me, but she allowed the love of God to flow through her. And Jesus came and took that unbearable pain away, so that then I would have the grace to walk regarding the dog, however it turned out, whatever the outcome was. I would never have been able to bear it had I not had that heart healing. At the moment, she's fine, which is lovely. So you will have had significant and equally painful things occur in your own lives. Like me, you may have forgiven all those who have damaged you and been forgiven for your sinful part. But my experience and the research shows that the pain can or may remain until God puts his finger on it and you have the grace to face it. He will have built you up in your character over the years so that you were able to bear it. He will have been occupying more of who you are so that he was very much there for you. Okay. You have the grace to face it. He will reveal, he will heal, and he will seal. If you have any of the symptoms, either physical or the ones I mentioned about the soul, loss of motivation, loss of passion, disconnection, loneliness, depression, anxiety, or moving between being very low in mood and over cheerful, or you have a chronic disease in your body, if you ask him, he will show you if it's rooted in a broken heart and when your heart was broken. Always ask Father first, and then ask someone to be with you and seek the presence of Jesus. I'm very keen to base mine and other people's healing on the word of God and his character. But it's my experience and those of the people I've been reading about that we are changed in his presence. And it's as we encounter him, leaning into what he has said and in his word, that healing will occur. But it's his presence ultimately. Some people will get healed in a moment and some over time, but it starts and is completed in his presence. It really doesn't matter how sad, bad, and dark your present is or your beginnings were, because I think mine were pretty difficult, but I know that I'm a glorious shining light, okay? I know that I can afford to be generous in every way, emotionally, in every way, because of God's healing on me. Never imagine that you are too dark or you've done too much too wrong. It's never too late. His whole character is redemptive and restorative, and he wants to see you walking as the person he intended you to be. And that's, you know, and that's more like him. Okay. So he'll do all that for us. But also, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So it's for others too. It's important to get yourselves at least on the road to healing, but don't wait till you get fully healed before you think you have something to offer someone else. So we can stand with others in their grief and mourn with those who mourn. There's a phrase in the caring professions: pain is what the patient says it is. And it's the same with soul pain, okay? A feeling is never right or wrong, it's just a feeling. So if you're privileged to be asked to be alongside someone in pain like this, keep your eyes on Jesus, only he can heal. Never minimise another's pain. Oh, you'll get over it soon, don't worry. Don't do that. Don't minimise someone else's pain. Or say something like, I know, I've been through that myself, I know just how you feel. What that does is makes them kind of take a step back and think, oh, my pain's only the same as everybody else's, I better be quiet. And it takes the focus of the person you thought you were caring for onto the person standing by. So don't make it about you, it's about them. Never try and stop them crying. Trust God for the end of the pain to come. It always does. And even if I'm completely on my own and my heart is broken because my sister just died, she didn't just die, but when she died, you think the crying will never come to an end. You're just on the carpet, sobbing and sobbing. But in a moment, he can turn that grief into joy and you will be able to get up off the carpet. Or if you're ministering to someone, that crying will stop, okay? But leave it to him. Stroking could give the impression that you'd like it to stop, or patting. So there's no need for stroking and patting. Leave it to him. So my last healing this summer was pinpointing something that happened. I've written 57 years ago today. So don't give up. By the way, despite what John said at the beginning of the meeting, most people don't get over it, okay? So don't imagine that you'll get over some of these things. But you'll go through it with more and more light and more grace and more healing. A mother will never get over losing a child, whether that's through miscarriage, stillbirth, adoption, separation. She'll keep walking through it. Not over, not under, but through it. And she will receive the very character of Jesus as she keeps going. So to recap, most of us have had a broken heart. Many will have swallowed the pain, becoming sick in soul and body. The pain is not always dealt with at the point that you forgive everyone. The Lord will release it and heal your heart when you're willing and when he knows you can bear it. And it is that we might live as glorious sons of the Most High God in the fullness of who he intends us to be, for his good and his glory. And that as we receive his comfort and healing, we can come alongside others and help Jesus, well, as if he needs any help, be there for him, with him. So if things have resonated with you this morning, God may have revealed something to you, or begun a healing. There will be people to stand with you as you face your pain, if that's where you are on the journey. But you may want to go away, maybe listen again on the podcast, and process something just with your father, and maybe he will heal you totally, or maybe you will seek help with a friend. A touch from the King changes everything. And even if you're here and you're not even sure that you know Jesus, he wants to touch you today and to begin to heal some of your heart pain. He knows you and he loves you. So there are people, and myself included, who are happy to be wherever you are on that journey and just bring Jesus if you want prayer today. Or you can arrange to have prayer at a later time. So that's really my message for today. So thank you for listening.